Blog Talk Radio.
The A New Day Show. I am Dynamic Daphne, the Queen of the Empowered Soul, and I'm broadcasting out of New Milford, Connecticut this morning, where we are experiencing a beautiful, sunny, windy fall morning. It's just a beautiful day here in New Milford. All the trees are beginning to change colors, and for those of you who have been to New England before, you know the beauty that we experience here in New England. And it is beginning to look so gorgeous outside with the leaves. This morning, before I go into the housekeeping and bring our distinguished guests on, I want to do some housekeeping. And I also want to read for you one of my favorite quotes. And it says, "You will find, as you look back up on your life, that the moments when you have really lived are the moments when you have done things in the spirit of love." And that's by Henry Drummond. Because, you know, you and I know that sometimes we are in certain situations with certain people, and it's really challenging for you to love them during that situation. But what we need to learn to do is to separate the person from their action, and you'll still be able to love them in spite of. I want to remind you of some of the episodes we have coming up. On the 14th, I am having Marsha Petrasu out of Arizona, and Marsha will be speaking on the reactive factor. And the first episode on this day is I'm having a friend and colleague on, Carolyn French. And Carolyn is a nutritionist, and she's also a kinesiologist. And she's going to be giving us some amazing information on the swine flu and how it affects us. We need to be aware and alert and be prepared. So you're going to join us next Wednesday at 10 o'clock for that with Carolyn Finch. And then on the 21st, I'm having Connecticut's own Mr. Jerry Long, and he's going to speak with us about how to build business from the ground floor up. He is a very prominent business person here in Connecticut, and Jerry's going to come on to share some of his nugget of wisdom with us. And I want to remind you to check my website out. It's www.clarkwithanehudson.com. And I also have the online empowerment institute.ning.com. And I also wanted to check me out on Facebook and Twitter. I have a new group on Facebook, Living on Authentic Life on purpose. I want for you to become a part of that group. If you think you're living life on purpose, then we can use you, your expertise in that group. So look those up. Pick up a copy of my book, Conversation on Success. Do that and help a sister out. So, without any further delay, I want to welcome my honored, distinguished, esteemed guest out of Worcester, Massachusetts. And our guest this morning is none other than the Reverend Dr. Theo Mills. Dr. Mills, good morning and welcome to the A New Day Show.
Good morning, Daphne. How are you?
I am so honored. I have to let the listeners know that Dr. Mills is one of the new treasures in my life. I went to an event two Sundays ago, and Dr. Mills was the guest speaker, and he spoke on a powerful topic of profitable and unprofitable. He had me on my toes. He is an amazing teacher, a great speaker, and I said, you know, I need to connect with this gentleman and make sure that he gets some time here on the airwaves so that he can impart to my listeners some of his pearl of wisdom. So I thank you so much, Dr. Mills, for accepting the invitation and for coming here this morning to share with the listeners.
Thank you very much, Daphne. I appreciate this privilege also. Thank you very much.
Yes. Well, Dr. Mills hails from Ghana, West Africa. And, you know, Dr. Mills and I, we have so much in common. But I'm going to allow Dr. Mills to tell us about his humble beginning and, you know, how did he get to where he is right now. So let's go to the beginning, Dr. Mills, in Ghana.
Yes, Daphne, in 1965, to be precise, on the 2nd of September, I was given birth to, on the west coast of Africa, to Mr. Mills, Theophilus Mills, and Madame Perpetua Botry. The beginning of my life was really very rough because my father was in politics and he had some problems with the government. I grew up not seeing great wealth in the family in terms of finances. I went through primary education, very difficult. I went through middle school, very difficult, walking barefooted. At the point, my parents separated. I did not know the whereabouts of my father until I got to the eighth grade. What I had seen from my beginning, something got to change.
Yes,
in 1981,
yes.
I accepted Jesus as my Lord and personal Savior. Mm. And since then, my life has not been the same. 2 years after my conversion, I was called into the ministry.
Yes.
And I went to Bible College in 1985.
Mm-hmm.
10 years later, I had the opportunity to further my ministerial studies, Caleb mm-hmm. International. Mm-hmm. That is where I met my spiritual father who impacted mm-hmm. my life so much.
Yes, yes.
So the Lord opened a door for me to come to the United States
mm-hmm.
in
mm-hmm.
2000 and now.
Yes.
Lives have blessed, ministries have changed, institutions, organizations have benefited from my humble beginning.
Yes,
today
yes.
I have the opportunity to speak to hundreds and thousands of people through my Discover to Recover seminars that I run all over the place. This is basically
wonderful.
What I've done in my life.
Wonderful, wonderful. You know, it's interesting that we are here this morning speaking about walking barefooted. It was less than 24 hours ago. Yesterday, I was on somebody else's show, and I was telling her about growing up in Jamaica, West Indies, and having one pair of shoes, which was for church. Every other place we went, every other place I went barefooted. And I said, you know, I have so much to thank God for because He has so enriched my life. I said, no, I have so many shoes. I don't know which one to wear. And I said that in a fun way, but as each of us can look back over our lives, where God has brought us from, but to jump and give Him praise. And every time I come on this airwaves, I was laughing yesterday, Dr. Mills, when you asked me whether or not using scriptures on the show was appropriate. And I tell you something, everything I do is so tied into my spiritual relationship, because without God, I would be nobody and I would be nowhere. So people come on here, and, you know, whatever enhance your life, speak about it. I am not going to sugarcoat my faith, because that is who I am, and that's what makes me what I am. So, you know, we just have to share. So it's so great to see. We no wonder God brought us together, because we have so much in common. Two barefooted kids, and look where we are today.
Yeah.
Yes, so I remember that when you were between 8 and 9, something magnificent happened.
Yes, yes.
Would you like to talk about that?
Yes, between the ages of 8 and 9, I have this feeling that I wanted to see a world where there is no poverty, where there is no fighting, where there's no litigation, people living at peace with each other. And when I was a little kid, I never liked taking a shower. My mom would take me before I get a shower. And when I was having this kind of feeling, one of the areas that I desired to see was a life where you won't take a shower. And so later, my mother and my great grand aunt who brought me up explained to me that there is a world like that where you won't have to take shower, where you won't have to fighting, where you won't have to be hungry, where you won't see poverty, and this life can only be enjoyed through our Lord Jesus. And got this understanding. It turned my whole life around, and I said, I'm going to pursue this life until I get into it. And so when I got born again and I understood better that what my parents told me was really true, I was the most excited person on earth.
Yeah, amazing, amazing. You know, I want to remind the listeners that they can call in at any time. The number is 646-915-8166. You don't have to wait. If you have a question for Dr. Mills, and if he has said something that you can so relate to, we would like to hear from you. And the chat room is also open, and I want to welcome the people who are participating there, and let us know when you have a question. Okay, Dr. Mills. So I know now you like showers because you realize that they are important, right?
Exactly.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
I do like taking shower now. I love it.
Amazing, amazing. You know, Dr. Mills, you know, growing up in Africa, we have one kind of system. Growing up in Jamaica, we have one kind of a system and everything. And then we come into this glorious land of opportunity. What are some impacts, if any, has this society of the United States of America has on your life?
Yes, in Africa, we did not have a lot of access to a lot of things. We do not have access to a lot of things. I thank God so much for the United States of America. My heart is always seeking and searching and knowing the truth. And one of the things that I give credit to the United States and thank God also for is the access to knowledge in this country. I quite remember when I was in Bible College in 1985. Getting a Thompson Chain Reference Bible was such a difficult thing. You could only see few pastors having this Bible, and it's so resourceful that we all wanted to have it, but it was such a difficult thing. I moved to this part of the world, and it's you just have easy access to that, and I really appreciate God for that. One other thing I want to talk about Africa is that things are very, very, very challenging. If you don't know your God, you cannot make it. One Reverend Minister said in the United States of America, when you are praying the Lord's Prayer, you don't say, "Give us this day our daily bread," because when you go to the food bank, you will get food to eat. In Africa, we pray that you have to believe God, you can put food on the table. And I really thank God for this kind of experience also, Daphne.
You know, it's amazing you're saying that. My pastor, Pastor Frank Santora at Faith Church here, his spiritual father is Dr. Kingsley Fletcher. And Dr. Fletcher is from Ghana. And Pastor Frank had the opportunity of visiting Ghana with Dr. Fletcher. And he came back and he was amazed at the the power of praying in Africa. He said people didn't have the fancy pews, the carpeted floors. Some of the churches were on ground floor. They have like little huts and everything. And people were praying all night, and they were seeing healing happen. And we are sitting here in America in these comfortable pews, and we can't spend half an hour praying, you know? So you are absolutely right. This is why that same group that I met Sister Juliana, and she has a prayer line that goes 3 times a day, every day. And I tell you something, my best days are the days when I participate on that prayer line before I begin my day.
Great.
You know?
Great.
So, we just learned so much about you. Let us talk a little bit about the ministry that you run there in Worcester, Massachusetts. Tell us about your ministry, please.
Yes, I have been the pastor of Restoration Outreach Ministry for 5 years now. The church is in Boston, but I actually live in Worcester. Restoration Outreach Ministry is committed to the restoration of all things, like the Bible says. And when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, He said to his disciples that Elias will come and shall truly restore all things. God originally placed man in a state of bliss when he created him. Mm-hmm. He created him outside of Eden and put him inside of Eden. Man fell mm-hmm. as a result of sin. But on the cross yes. of Calvary, we see three personalities represented. We see the Son of God, who is God himself. We see the His right, who represents man, humanity. And we see another accuser, the left, representing the devil. The man saw his state. He said, Lord, remember me in your kingdom. And Jesus promised him, today, thou shalt be with me in paradise, you were originally placed. And we believe that even though man has fallen, there's a restoration. God is bringing us back to our original state of existence to see his glory and to exhibit his power and his anointing in this end time. So that is what Restoration Outreach Ministry is committed to. We are also committed to restoring families, restoring people whose lives have been derailed because of social vices. And so mm-hmm. all out, we run, we have a project of getting drug addicts. We have a project of getting people who have dropped out of school, put them back into school, run free GED classes for them so that their purpose in life will be fulfilled. That is what Restoration Ministries it's all about.
Great. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much. I'm Dr. Miles. Dr. Mills, Dr. Miles, I guess I need to talk to him today. I've been calling you Dr. Miles all morning. Dr. Mills.
Yes.
Now, you have a strong focus on belief and teaching around the fact that motivation is the key to successful leadership and maximum potential. And that's what we decide that we want to speak about this morning. As a matter of fact, it's not so much of speaking about as you are going to be teaching about. So I want to remind the listeners to grab a pad and paper because they will be receiving important nuggets that they will be using to change their lives and the lives of their loved ones. So let us get to the task at hand for this morning. And I want to remind the listeners again of the phone number. It's 646-915-8166. And for those listeners who are already listening, call your coworkers, call your friends and tell them that they need to tune in right now to the A New Day show on www.blogtalkradio.com/Daphne-Clark-Hudson because this teaching this morning is for each and every one of you. So go ahead, Dr. Miles, with your topic for today, motivation, the key to successful leadership and maximum potential.
Thank you, Daphne. I'm speaking on motivation, the key to successful leadership and maximum productivity. Now, it is believed that the two main reasons why five men out of 100 attain some degree of financial success are one, hard work and knowledge. I don't dispute this fact. But even though they are very vital in financial success, they are really not enough in today's hard-driving business world. I believe that the success of any organization or any institution or an executive depends on the ability to motivate the people who work for you and those who render service to you. Now, this also goes to parents as well. Any leadership, any capacity actually needs to the standard it takes motivation to let people do what you want them to do for you. There is something I call the irrefutable law of sowing and reaping. And the Word of God even tells us in the book of Galatians 6, verse 7, that for whatsoever a man sows, that shall he reap. And the law of sowing and reaping says that when you sow apple, you reap apple. When you sow peach, you reap peach. Whatever you put in is what you get back. And so we need to understand that if you want people to do things for you, you definitely have to do something for them. If you want your subordinates, you want your children, you want the people that are under you, you want the people that look up to you as an executive or as a leader or as a parent or even as a pastor, if you want them to do a particular thing or you want them to toe a particular line, there is something particular that you also have to do. Life is full of causes and effects. Life is full of sowing and reaping, and that is how God has designed it. You cannot hit against that. If you hit against that, you are going to get a result that you do not want. Now, the golden rule also tells us that whatsoever you want men to do unto you, do likewise unto them. It says that for the judgment by which you judge people, you will be judged with the same judgment. And the measure that you measure for people, you will be measured with the same measurement. So call it same judgment, same measure, same expectation. Whatever you put into life is exactly what is coming back to you. Let me take some time right now to define what, in my estimation, motivation is. I see motivation as the skill of using all available resources morally acceptable to get a man into that frame of mind where he will voluntarily want to do his utmost for me, and then he will do it. Let me repeat this. Now, it is a skill. Motivation is a skill of using all available resources morally acceptable. You can use any resource that is available, but if it's not morally acceptable to get the result that you want, it is not motivation. And so you want to use the skill that is available and is morally acceptable to get a man into that frame of mind where he will voluntarily, not a force, do your utmost for you. You will get the result that you want to get. Now, it's very simple that it's very obvious that most executives, most leaders, most pastors, most parents don't just have a vague idea of how to motivate their subordinates to do their utmost for them. And so sometimes you see them resorting to threats and what I call the old-fashioned method of threats and fear to control their subordinates. Sometimes you hear threats like, you'll be demoted if you don't discharge certain responsibilities or you don't meet certain quotas or at a certain deadline. All these things I see as means of getting people to do what they you want them to do, but I see them as a wrong approach. Sometimes they have read books on psychology, manuals on proper personnel management. They've read journals, trade journals about how to effectively control and lead their employees or their subordinates. And still they don't get the inspiration they want. We sometimes try to use so many other means, unorthodox means to get the results that we want from people. And when we don't even get the results because we don't use the actual tool of motivation, we get frustrated, we begin to apportion blames, we begin to give responsibilities to people that we are not even supposed to give those responsibilities to because we are frustrated. I want to take a little time to discuss something about the management process. There are four.
Dr. Mills, before you move into that second portion, I want to point something out here that I heard you say. Said is that most executive supervisors, whatever the label they are wearing, instead of using inspiration to motivate their subordinates, they chose to use manipulation.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Because they're using threat and, to frighten and scare tactics. And you can't motivate people that way. You have to inspire them to get motivated. So that's a very valid point.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Daphne. It's very, very important. And so now within the management process, there are four basic management functions I want to mention, and they are planning, organizing, controlling, and motivating. And motivation is what we are talking about today. Now, I see motivation as a function that within the management process that is commonly referred to as leading, directing, or actuating. And its primary concern is with people within the organization. It is with equipment. It is with people. Now, so we see motivation as the process of encouraging appropriate behavior within any organization by providing an environment in which people can satisfy their human needs through both their work and the work environment. This is how motivation looks like. It is a process that encourages appropriate behavior. I will talk about appropriate behavior very soon. Within the organization, and this appropriate behavior is what actually provide an environment for people to satisfy their human needs through both their work and work environment. Appropriate behavior is any behavior that helps the organization to move towards organizational attainment or goals attainment. Mm-hmm. There are things that you can do for the people to exhibit this appropriate behavior. Things like coming to work on time, mm-hmm. meeting deadlines without threats, rather using the tool of inspiration to do that. And it happens everywhere. It happens in institutions. It happens in companies. It happens in our homes. It happens in our churches. I quite remember when I was a little boy. Now, my African name is Nana Ado. Now, Nana means a chief or a king. Now, any time my mother calls my whole name, she calls me Nanado. I know this is just a normal thing she does every day. Now, my mother was using this form of inspiration to get me do things that I don't even want to do. If my mother wants me to walk from Massachusetts to Connecticut, she will address me by the title Nana, like a king. And any time I heard Nana, I felt, yes, I'm being respected. Even at that very tender age, I feel I'm being respected.
Yes.
My mother is addressing me as a king, so let me behave like a king to her. And wherever she sends me, we'll go. You know, and so motivation actually encourages appropriate behavior. And this appropriate behavior is what works towards organizational goals achievement. Now, because we know that the ultimate purpose of motivation is to increase productivity in every circle of life, the reason why we motivate is to increase productivity. If you want your church members or your under pastors or your managers or your whoever your subordinate is, if you want them to really, produce more for you, all you need to do is to motivate them. A human-oriented work situation generates a higher level of production over a long run than a work situation that people find so distasteful. Mm-hmm. If the concentration is not on the people, and how to put them in a frame of mind where they will willingly do what you want them to do without using the tools of threats, mm-hmm. without using the tools of force. Trust me, you will see them doing for you, and then they will produce more than you even expect. Now,
that's right. Dr. Mills,
yes.
I'm going to be cutting in and out because every time I hear a great nugget, I want to just re-emphasize that for the listeners because so much good things and I don't want them to miss. You
yes.
know, what you said here is so powerful because when we invest in people, that's one dividend that's not going to be lower. It doesn't matter what the economy is doing.
Exactly.
When we invest in a person, the dividend is always going to be on the rise. And I think one of the mistakes that bosses and supervisors and team leaders make is the fact that they do not allow their team members or employees to experience shared ownership in what is going on. So
exactly.
they don't show them no love and no respect and no recognition. And the people, they just keep coming to go get the paycheck on Friday or whenever they get it.
Mm-hmm.
But when you show them that we are in this together, you are igniting that inspiration in them that it doesn't matter how high the snow is outside, they're going to be coming to work because they know they are part of the result.
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
Yes, please continue.
Yes, I'm going to focus also right now on the three most essential elements of motivation. The three most essential elements of motivation. Now, the Word of God tells us in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12, that a threefold cord is not easily broken. So when we look at the subject of motivation, we want to look at these three big elements. And these three elements involve the motivator, the motivated, and then the process of motivation. The motivator, the motivated, and then the process of motivation. Now, with the motivator, let's take the motivator. The motivator must understand that your success or your failure as an executive, as a leader, as a parent, as a pastor, and as a member of a management team will be determined by your ability to motivate those who work for you. Every motivator must understand this. Every motivator must also understand and be ready to play by the golden rule. Every motivator must know and apply dynamic laws of motivation, which I'll be discussing. There are four dynamic laws of motivation. Today in this program, I'm going to take one of the laws to discuss it. And every motivator must also understand that executives are made. They are not born.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Let me just run through the 12 laws of motivation propounded by James K. Van Fleet. Law number one says, know your business and stick to it. That is the way you can motivate people. Know your business and stick to it. Law number two, if you want to improve, be honest with yourself. Number three, know your men and look out for their welfare. Number four, always keep your men informed. Number five, make sure the task is understood, supervised, and accomplished. Number six, train your men as a team. Number seven, make sound and timely decisions. Number eight, develop a sense of responsibility in your subordinates. Number nine, seek responsibility and take responsibility for your actions and don't apportion blames. Number 10, always set the example. Number 11, motivate every man to feel important to himself. And then, number 12, you put all the 11 into action and you make sure that they work. So now let's look at the number one law of motivation, or the dynamic law number one, which says, know your business and stick to it. I believe strongly that we are not general human beings. In 2000, in the year 2000, at the Azusa conference, Dr. Miles Monroe, an awesome man of God and my mentor as well, he said that you are not a general human being. You are a specific human being. Our assignment on this earth is specific. We are not general human beings. We are specific human beings. And so we need to stick to our business. We have to know our business and stick to it. Because if we don't know our business and stick to our business, there is no way we can motivate our subordinates or the people who look after us. There's an article in March of 1970. The Great Atlantic and Pacific Company, which started in the mid-18s, was still going strong as the world's largest food retailer. Now, one of their biggest factors of success has always been said to be sticking to the grocery business. Now, by knowing their business, they continue to motivate their customers to come year after year, day after day, time after time. When you talk about purpose, assignment in life, you can always remember Dr. Miles Monroe. Talk about end time events, you can talk about Dr. Perry Stone. You can also talk about Dr. Jack Vahimpe. When you talk about healing and miracles, you can talk about Pastor Benny Hinn. When you talk about computers, you can talk about Bill Gates. When you talk about financial success in the kingdom of God, you can talk about Dr. Leroy Thompson. When you talk about music in the body of Christ, you can talk about Donnie McLaughlin. All these people are not general human beings. They have specialized in a particular area. That is why the world keeps looking up to these people. Now, when you know your business, when you know your business and you stick to your business, you always gain the respect and the confidence of your employees, of your children, of your subordinates, and of your customers as well. You have to be specific. You have to know your business. You have to know what you are doing and stick to it. The thing is that don't ever try to know everything about everything. Don't be a jack of all trades and a master of none. Stick to your business. One of the basic fundamentals of successful salesmanship is simply to concentrate on your attention on a single point and not to scatter your fire. That is how successful salesmanship, one of the fundamentals of successful salesmanship. Once again, you gain the respect, the confidence, and then when you do that, you also be able to obtain your subordinates' willing obedience, their loyal cooperation, and their full support. So how do you actually apply this law of motivation? How do you do it? Or how do you know your business and stick to it? I'm going to share about eight keys for the application of this law. Number one, the word of God says in the book of 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, study to show yourself approved unto God. Nothing is done by assumption. Whatever you do in this life, you must be well informed. You must know exactly what you are doing. So, number one, Please seek and gain a well-rounded education for your chosen profession. When the people see that you know, you have knowledge about what you are doing, you can easily motivate them. But when they see you are just bluffing your way, let me tell you this. One time I was in the early 90s, probably around 91, 92, I was the pastor in charge of music in my spiritual father's church. Mm-hmm. And I went to a music school for just 1 month. And I was just combining the 1 month training to the gift that I had.
Yeah.
And then there was this guy who was brought in as the music director. I was the pastor in charge of the music department. He was the music director. He had been to school. Right. Had his degree. I think he had his master's in music.
Right.
I did not. And then sometimes I would just come using my position as the pastor in charge of music to make statements that I did not even understand.
Right, right, well, right.
He was looking at me like a fool. He was looking at me like a stupid person who did not even know what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
In no time, I ran into a serious problem with him. But as I kept growing in the Lord, as I kept growing in life situations, I came to understand that, you see, whatever you do, you must seek and gain a well-rounded education for what you are doing. Because
Because
the fact that you are standing in front does not necessarily mean that you know everything, you know more than everybody in that meeting or in that gathering. There are people who know more than you do. And so you don't just go there as you know it all. You disgrace yourself. Please seek and gain a well-rounded education for your chosen profession. Continue to study. Listen into your profession. Learn a little bit of everything on the job. Study to be the best.
And you know something, Dr. Mills, one or the other thing, when a team leader or a boss explain to their team group and let them know, yes, I learned something valuable from the team, it puts them in a better light with the people that they are supervising, because they are not acting like they know it all. But a lot of time, egos get in the way.
Yes, yes, yes. That is very true. That is very true, Daphne. Oh, this is good. This is good. Now, the second key is to broaden your own professional and technical knowledge by making friends with those who are in associated and allied groups and profession. When you check the book of Proverbs 27, verse 17, the Word of God has something to say. It says that iron sharpeneth iron, so the countenance of a man sharpens his friend. And then when you read Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20, it says that he that walks with the wise shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. And so
that's
you broaden your professional and technical knowledge by making friends with those who are in associated or allied groups and professions. That is not to say that you allow them to tell you or you allow them to define who you are. When you associate yourself with this, when you associate yourself with these allied groups and professions or professionals, that is not to say that they should define who you are. Because I know sometimes there are people who have been hurt like that. There are people who have been disdained, disrespected, disregarded for who they are. But that is not what I'm saying. You are associating with these groups so that your skill will be sharpened. You can watch them do things, and you can improve on what you have. Broaden your own professional.
It helps to enhance who you are already.
Exactly. I have been saying this, that you see, if someone who knows what you don't know gives you what he knows, and you add to what you know, plus what you know that he does not know, always ahead of the person.
That's right. You know, Dr. Mills, one of my practice and habits is, if I'm in a group and I'm the smartest one there in that group, it's time for me to find a new group. Because
yes.
it means I have become stagnant and I'm not growing.
Yes.
So I always have to be in a group that challenges me to excel. And that's what the listeners need to do too. A lot of them are stagnant because they're in the same dead group since they were in elementary school.
Exactly.
And they have to enhance the companionship of their relationships.
Yes. That's very true. That's very true. Now, looking at the key number three, always look for opportunities to use your knowledge through the actual use and practice of motivation of others to do your desire. What I'm saying in effect is motivation of others to do your will is acquired and developed only through the actual practice, so you can gain the necessary experience. Because it's very simple. We learn best by doing. So like James says, that a doer of the word and not a hearer only. So as we are sharing about motivation, after you have acquired the knowledge, make sure you look out for opportunities, use this knowledge to actually motivate the people. Don't just acquire the knowledge and leave it where it is. But when you acquire the knowledge about how to motivate your subordinate, put it into practice, and that is the only way it's going to work. Don't go like, oh, well, I know how to motivate. I know how to motivate. I've said it about motivation, but you don't put it into practice. You really have to put it into practice, and that is the way it's going to work. Number four, need to keep up with current business and industrial development and trends. You need to keep up with current business and industrial development and trends. Now, let me tell you something, Daphne. I traveled to Africa just last year. I was in Ghana in January, and I went again in October. And I went there for missions because we have a project we are embarking on right now. Now, we also want to start of our church. When I went, I was assuming that ministry is run the way I knew it 10 years ago.
I know, sir.
Yeah. 10 years ago, you see churches in classrooms. You see churches in classrooms. They don't care whether they have physical equipment or not, and they still have church. You see a lot of people in church. You won't see a lot of professionals in church. You won't go to church. But right now, face of ministry has changed. The Bible says that the harvest is great. God is calling men from where? And so when you go into the body of Christ right now, you see the poor and the rich. You
That's
see the educated.
Right.
And you see a cross-section of people in the body of Christ. And so you can't use the old method to run ministry. I went there with that kind of mentality, thinking that I'll see ministry the way it used to be 10 years ago, and I had the biggest shock of my life, and I had to come back to the United States without starting the branch.
That's right. Because you were not prepared.
Thank you. You have to keep up with current business and industrial development and trends, which means that you must simply be abreast with time. In the book of First Chronicles chapter 12 verse 32, the Bible says that the children of Issachar had understanding of the time and knew what Israel ought to do. They could discern between the times. They knew what Israel had to do at a particular given time. If you don't keep up with current business and industrial development and trends, there is no way you can motivate the people under you. There are things that my oldest daughter, she's 17, I'm sorry, there are things that she comes to talk to me about. And then I talk about something, you know, 25 years ago. And she goes like, Daddy, you can't not help me in this area.
Because it's you are behind. You
Thank
are behind.
You. I go like, you have to listen to me. I'm your father. She said, no. Daddy, you are my father. You cannot help me in this area. You are talking about
because
25
behind.
Years ago. Talking about now.
That's
and
right.
Later, I'll go and research into what she's telling me, and I'll discover that I'm 25 years behind. And that is what a lot of executives do.
Mm-hmm.
The same principles that they have applied to run their organizations, to run their ministries, to run their families 10, 15 years ago, they think that, well, they have sat in that chair for all these years, and they have the experience.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different ball game.
Right.
Every executive must keep up with current business and industrial strength. Otherwise, you will have nothing to motivate your people about.
Mm-hmm.
Don't limit your knowledge. Keep a good eye posted on those vocations and professions that are closely aligned and related to your own. Don't close your mind to another man's ideas because it happens to be in a different profession. No, you have to be open. You have to know
That's
what is
right.
happening. You have to know what is going on. It's very, very important. Miss Daphne, sometimes my heart breaks, especially when I look at the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm. There's so much competition. Yep.
I move into other organizations, and I see what is happening. I look at them, and I'm like, where do you think you are going in this life with this kind of attitude?
Exactly.
I have handled a company. I've run a seminar for a company, and I sat with the directors of that company, and it's amazing. It's amazing some of the findings that I came up with. You know, people need to understand this subject of motivation. They really have to keep up with current business and industrial development. Very, very important. I also want to talk about the fifth one, building up a close association and friendship with those whom you know to be well qualified and capable in your own particular field.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It is not evil. Now, Jesus tells us of a story in the book of Luke chapter 16. About this unfaithful steward. Bible says that we should go and learn of the world. We should make friends with them and learn of the world because the children of this world are wiser than the children of light.
That's
because
right.
of the way they conduct business. It's so sad that You go into Christian homes and you see so much failure. You go into Christian ministries, you see so much failure because people have forgotten that there is the way the game is played.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to learn from others. We need to get
That's
ourselves
right.
appreciated from others. Anytime you are proud, I know pride leads to ignorance. All we need to do is to observe others in action, see how they work, study their actions closely. Yes, study their actions closely so that we can improve on ours. Now, this is what Ralph Waldo Emerson said. He said, every man I meet is my superior.
That's right.
He said, every man I meet is my superior. Sometimes I was listening to Mike Murdock, one time in one of his conferences, and God placed on the heart of one of the pastors in the conference who was not even on the platform that an offering should be taken. Now, because the conference was totally paid for, he ignored the message. He ignored the note. Then the person wrote the note in time. He ignored it. Then the third time, said the Holy Spirit spoke to him that there is the need for him to recognize other people. He's not the only person God can talk to other people. And that is what prompted him to write the law of recognition.
Mm-hmm.
It said that the offering that it took, it was able to raise about $110,000 in that service alone.
My God.
And so there is a need for us to recognize what people have. Emerson said, every man I meet is my superior. Sometimes we see gold, but it comes to us in the form of a dust. There are people who help us
Hallelujah.
To go. There are people, you see, people have treated their angels unawares. But the Bible says that we should be very careful not to treat strangers unawares, because people have treated their angels unawares. There are people who have our souls in their hands. There are people who have our destinies in their hands. One word from somebody can turn our whole life around. We must
That's
understand
right.
that it is very, very important that we build up a close association to people that we know they are qualified for what we are pursuing.
Yes, yes. That is powerful word right there. I want to allow you to take a sip of water, and I'm going to remind the listeners, please call in. The number is 4915-8166. And you listeners, I guess you are probably puzzled today, because you all know how I love to talk. And today I'm just sitting back and I'm just learning and grasping all the nuggets of information that's being passed out here. And I tell you something. This is one episode that I know you're all going to come back and listen to and listen to and listen to. And I hope and pray that you all take some time to leave a comment in the comments room about this powerful teaching of Reverend Dr. Theo Mills. You know, I tell you, I'm going to take credit for this, because I promised you all that God will direct me to only the best to bring here on the show for you. And didn't he deliver today? You know, so I am just so proud and excited to be in this powerful man of God's presence. And we have 53 minutes remaining. Call, type your questions in the chat room, and if you are just tuning in, you are listening to the A New Day show, and our distinguished teacher today is the Reverend Dr. Theo Mills. Dr. Mills, take it away.
Yes, thank you, Daphne. Now, if you want to learn, there's this principle: if you want to learn, then ask. If you want to learn, you must ask. Now, one good way to learn all about your subordinate's job is to be honest with them and with yourself too.
Mm-hmm.
You must be willing to learn from others, no matter their position or who they are.
Mm-hmm.
It is not degrading yourself before your employees or before your subordinates. If you want to be smart and rich, motivate your men by listening to them.
That's right.
Like I said, Daphne, God is so good.
Well, all the time.
There is treasure in every earthen vessel.
Mm-hmm.
There is treasure in every earthen vessel. If that little boy, if that little boy who went to Jesus' crusade could provide a meal that could take care of almost 15,000 people, then we must understand that whoever we meet on the street, the person carries some nuggets. The people that we see on our job, some of them, they even know more than us. The people that listen to you, some of them have more information than you do.
That's right.
So get it, ask. Be very honest to yourself and be very honest with them. Like I said, if you want to be smart and rich, motivate your men by listening to them. It will amaze you. It will surprise you. Things that they will be able to tell you on an organization that you are heading.
That's right.
They will tell you things that you did not even learn in the classroom.
You know, Dr. Mills, I really cannot recall now which speaker I heard this from, but I know it was a well-rounded scholar. And the saying was that if you want to know what's happening in a 500 corporation, ask the custodian.
Exactly.
Because you would look and figure the custodian is at the rung of the ladder. But that custodian goes everywhere in that building and knows everything that's happening.
Exactly.
So stick close to them and you're going to get all the information you need.
Exactly, exactly, exactly. So what we need to do is to learn more about the entire organization by asking them. Like you said, learn more about the entire organization by asking them questions. It actually pays.
Mm-hmm.
It actually pays.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you ask them questions, you often learn something of real value. When you ask a man for his opinion or his advice on a particular matter, this is what happens. You motivate them to think for themselves.
That's right. That's right.
You also motivate them to develop their own initiative. You motivate them to develop their own resourcefulness. You also motivate them for their own ingenuity. Key number six, you must know and understand the capabilities and the limitations of your own organization. Like I said from the beginning, we are not general human beings. We are specific human beings. And so you must know and understand what your organization, your company, your family, your church, your ministry, you must know its capabilities and its limitations. The book of Romans tells us that God has given to us a gift according to a measure of grace.
Mm-hmm.
So, actually, don't be a stranger to your organization. Don't be a stranger to your family. Don't be a stranger to your group. Don't be a stranger to the company that you are heading. You must know the company's limitations and its capabilities.
Mm-hmm.
The only way you can find out capabilities and the limitations of any organization or your organization is to get out from behind your desk.
That's right.
You need to conduct some errands yourself. Know what your organization is capable of producing and make sure it produces that. You don't oversell your production capacity and don't underproduce what you have committed to produce.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what happens. One of the management functions within the management process is controlling.
Mm-hmm.
So controlling is the management function for which managers gather information that measures recent performance within the organization, compare present performance to pre-established performance standards. And then from this comparison, they determine if the organization should be modified to meet pre-established standards. And this is an ongoing process. Now, let me quickly explain this. When you conduct this errands on the organization, and you know what the organization is capable of producing, and you know the organization limitations, all the time you have when you conduct this round on the plant, you know exactly where your weaknesses are. You know exactly where your strength is. And I've already said that you don't oversell your production capacity. Otherwise, you disgrace yourself. What you are not capable of doing, don't do it.
That's right.
Try to move into other areas that have nothing to do with you. And what you are committed to produce. In fact, this is the way you can win. You can motivate people. You can motivate customers. You can motivate even the people that work under you. You don't oversell your production capacity, and you don't underproduce what you are committed to do. And so, for you to know your strengths and your weaknesses, you do some comparison of the recent performance, everything that is going on within the organization or within your church or within your family. Now, every organization has a pre-established standard. Every organization, every home, every church, every company has pre-established standards that I call vision. There is something that every organization has committed to do, and that is the pre-established standard. They don't want to fall short of that standard. But as time goes on, organizations are like human beings. We wear out. We derail off track. And so occasionally, you need to gather information to measure your recent performance in light of your pre-established standard, to see whether you are doing the right thing, to see whether you are overselling your production or you are underproducing what you are committed to produce.
Right.
And this is very important. And when you do this, you will be able to do organizational modification. Let me give you a scripture that supports that. In the book of Revelation chapter 3, from verse 1 to verse 4, the Bible talks about the church in Sardis. Bible says that they have a name to be alive, but they are dead. They should go back and check themselves and quicken those things which remain that are ready to die. It happens to everybody. It happens to everybody. Now, if you don't do these checks, if you don't check to know and understand the capabilities and the limitations of your organization, and you don't use this management process of controlling to remodify your organization or your family or your church, before you know, everything has just slipped off your hands. So what you need to do is to circulate, make a frequent visit around the organization. Conduct a periodic inspection on your subordinates and on your supervisors. Check the work of your men. Supervise the supervisors and inspect the inspectors.
You know what I want to point out here, Dr. Miles?
Yes.
What you said about checking the work of their employees and all of that, what some supervisors or managers or leaders tend to do is to manage, which is no good. Because
yes.
You can supervise and check somebody's work with a lot of integrity and love without micromanage them for them to feel inferior.
Yes.
And that's, I think they get their wires crossed a lot where that is concerned. So that's another valid nugget that you just pass on.
Thank you. Now, the next thing I want to talk about is key number 7.
Mm-hmm.
You need to take advantage. Be ready to move up.
Mm-hmm.
Train yourself so that you will always be ready to take over your superior's position at a moment's notice. We are talking about motivation. If you don't, someone else will. In the book of Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord.
Repeat Joshua that scripture, please.
Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 to verse 2. God said, the book of Joshua says, now after the death of Joshua, the servant of the Lord, God spake unto Joshua, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now arise and lead this people. He was ready to move up. Joshua has been serving Moses all these years. But the very day Moses died, he was the next to move. To ready.
That's right.
He was very, very... scared. And so you need to take advantage. Exactly. So train yourself so that you will always be ready over your superior's position at a moment's notice. Now, there is no substitute for knowledge. There is no substitute for knowledge. So if you are going to jump into your boss's shoes, then you will have to know your own profession, your own particular occupation from the inside out, and you have to know your boss's job also.
That's right. That's right.
You must understudy.
Every opportunity you get to be an understudy, you should grab it. But instead, a lot of people tend to focus on why am I not promoted? Why am I not getting a raise? You know, it is more advantageous to be an understudy than to get an immediate raise.
Exactly. I did a seminar on capacity development. In territories through capacity development. And what people must understand is, even God will not give you something that you are not capable of. He will not do that. Even if you are next to God, if there is a position available and you don't qualify for it, you have not studied enough for that position, God will not give it to you.
That's right. Guy, you're going to go there to mess up.
Yes.
And stop somebody else's progress. That's right.
Exactly. And God rules in the affairs of men. God is interested in the politics of the nations. God is interested in organizations. God is interested in what is going on in the world that he has created. And so he will not pick you and place you somewhere to mess up the lives of people. God will not
do
that.
Right.
So we need to be ready at all times to move up. So that when we are given a moment notice, we can move in to occupy that. And the way to do that is to make sure that you even know your immediate superior's job. You know it. Know your own profession.
Right.
Know your immediate supervisors or your immediate superior's job. Now, you must simply know everything to know about it.
But one of the other things they say, the person that utilizes an opportunity is the one who is ready for it. Because
exactly.
The opportunity is not knocking. You got to see the opportunity and seize the moment. So if you are not ready, you're not going to miss it. It's just going to be, something else that passes you by sitting down. You know?
Exactly. Now, I want to mention that to be a successful executive or a manager, make it your business to know and to understand every step in the operation that is under your control. We know that management basically concerns itself with the big picture, not the minor details. You don't have to perform all the detailed work your men are paid to perform.
That's right.
But you must understand and know every step in the operation that you control and that you are responsible for supervising. Very, very important. Now, let me quickly strike a difference here between knowing and doing.
Yeah.
And I really want our listeners to really take this thing seriously. Your men are paid to do exact details of their work.
Mm-hmm.
But you as an executive, you are paid to see that they do it.
That's right.
You must know what they are supposed to do. This doesn't mean that you should be an expert at what they are doing. Let me take, for example, you might not be able to do some manual job quite as well as the man who is doing it.
That's right.
But you absolutely got to know what he is doing and why he's doing that. Otherwise, you will not be able to know when a mistake is made for you to correct. You must also remember your primary mission is to motivate others to do the job.
Right.
You don't have to be as good as the one doing the job because you belittle a man. Miss Daphne, you said it a moment ago. You belittle a man if you imply that anyone could take over his or her job and do it as well as he can in just a short time with no background or experience whatsoever. And so you don't go trying to do the job of your subordinate. If you do that, you are not motivating them.
That's right. You just show appreciation for what they're doing.
Thank you. You are quenching their spirit. You belittle a man by proving to him that what he's doing, you know how to do it without even you having the training. And so we encourage executives and we encourage leaders, we encourage parents, please don't do that.
That's right. You know, you just express, I appreciate the job you're doing. I know how challenging it is.
Exactly. Exactly.
And just show everybody on that team, or everyone in that organization, each person's job is as equally important as your job, whether you're the president or the founder. Because if that one person mess up, the whole organization is going to capsize.
Yes. But I also want to mention that unless you know your business, your employees will lose confidence in you.
That's right.
If you're a parent, you don't know your business, your children will lose confidence in you. If you're a pastor, you don't know your business, your congregation members will lose confidence in you. If you don't have the technical and the professional know-how it takes to hold down your job, if you show a lack of knowledge in any part of your work, your subordinates will soon lose confidence in your technical abilities. And not only that, they will soon lose complete confidence in you when it comes to your other abilities.
That's right, and respect too.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You will never be able to motivate them to do their best for you when you are trying to bluff your way along. So you got to be
They see right through you.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
You got to be authentic.
Exactly. Now, you are not just motivating them. You've got to be motivated too. You motivate your employees to do their utmost for you. You will have to, if for you to be able to motivate your employees to do their utmost for you, you will have to exhibit personal diligence on the job yourself. Now, it is very impossible to, let me say it this way, it is impossible to motivate your employees to do their best for you if you are not motivated enough also to do the best for your boss. So now the golden,
right.
The golden rule now comes into play. Whatsoever ye want men to do unto you, do likewise unto them.
That's right.
So don't think it's your job to motivate your subordinates and your boss's job to motivate you. You must be self-motivating.
Exactly. Because they say children live what they learn, right? And they say, show me what to do. Don't tell me, show me.
Exactly.
So if you are praying the right attitude of constant motivation around the people you are leading,
mm-hmm.
they can't be any other way than to be inspired, to be motivated. So you
exactly.
don't have to keep telling them. Just show them, and they will do. They walk. They will model you.
Yeah. 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 Now, you also have to remember you are an executive. You are a member of
right.
a management. You are a supervisor. You are supposed to be able to motivate yourself. Otherwise, the chain will not end. 1 Chronicles
mm-hmm.
chapter 30 verse 6 says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. When things went wrong for him,
mm-hmm.
all the people around him planned on stoning him. Situation
mm-hmm.
was so wrong. But he was self-motivating.
Mm.
He was very self-motivating. Now, the best motivators of employees are those who are themselves already self-motivated.
Yeah, because motivation is an inside job.
Exactly.
Know?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's look at this. You can best motivate by your own example.
Exactly.
Ms. Daphne, you went ago. You can best motivate by your own example.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You are the image of the company you work for. And when we get to the motivated, I will talk on that. You are the image of the company you work for. You represent the company to the men who work for you. So don't expect them to give their utmost to the company if you are not giving your utmost to the company.
That's right. You know? It's just yesterday, I think I tweet on my site saying, you know, we should not give what we have, but we should give what we are. And
yes.
that's what we need to do, not only in the physical things that we are doing, but when we are serving, we need to do it from our heart with a lot of love, you know. And that's
yes.
what I think a lot of people fall short on, because they keep looking on the tangible material things that they can physically hand to you. And so much of who they are, we never get to experience that. And especially as a supervisor or a leader, that's what our people need from us. The people who are listening to me on this show, they want to hear about what I am. They don't want to know, you know, they want to know what I am. They don't want to know about all the accolades I come with, but how much love and authenticity am I hosting this show with to give them what I really am inside, what's coming out of that. So I just love that.
Yeah. Now, we there is something I call the proper principles.
Mm-hmm.
The goal of motivation of your employees to do their utmost for you is your own profit and financial success.
Mm-hmm.
So don't throw those profits out the back door by not knowing how to control and motivate them for a very sound management.
Yes.
you must fully understand and apply properly the principles of sound management of your human resource, time, resources, and money.
Yes,
and this,
yes.
This you do by motivating your subordinate.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't do this, if you don't motivate them, it's just like you are throwing away money. You are throwing away the profit of the company.
Mm-hmm.
That is what
you
are doing.
In other words, as leaders, there comes a time when we need to be transparent with the people we are leading.
Exactly. Exactly.
But that's going to help them to understand. Because a lot of times, leaders don't talk about their struggles and their downfall. And the people we lead tend to put us on these high pedestals, especially pastors. They put them on this high pedestal, and they tend to forget that before you are a pastor, you are a human being. So people need to know what our struggles are, what our downfalls are, what our weaknesses are, because that is what helps them to propel to their successful end. Because they look around and said, my leader went through that. They did not cave in. They triumphed over that. That's parent.
Exactly. Now let me talk about one very important area. Executives are made, they are not born.
Right.
Anyone with proper application of effect can rise above the level of his best.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Many people start small and they end up great.
That's right. Start from research also
showed that successful people fight for weaknesses. And so this is what wise executives capitalize on. They capitalize on their strong points.
That's right.
Can help them best.
Exactly.
So, Ms. Daphne, you just said it. We have to come face-to-face in motivating our subordinates. We have to come face-to-face with honesty. Honesty must compel us to let them know that we have shortcomings and then we have strong areas.
We don't
magnify our weaknesses. We rather magnify our strong points. But then,
when you present
this to the people, that as an executive, you have your shortcomings, you have your weaknesses, the people learn. They get so motivated that even when they know they can rise and they can rise to the top.
Exactly. And they look and say, I don't have to be this perfect Miss Goody Two-Shoe. I can have my downfall, but through the love of Christ, I can rise again. And they keep looking back and they say, my leader have done it, so can I. And this is why it is so important to tell our stories. Because honestly and truly, I know our criteria and our qualifications are extremely important. But what draws people to us is our authenticity, our stories, our life journeys experience. That is what will allow people to stop and begin to listen to what we are saying, because they are going to say, well, they're not just telling you what they learn at the seminary or at the college. They are telling you what they overcame, and what better thing to share with somebody than your testimony and your triumph and the tests that you have gone through.
Yes.
Dr. Mills, we have 25 minutes remaining. Why don't you catch your breath and just tell people how to contact you, please.
Okay. I can be contacted on 508 508-340-7964. The number again is 508-340-7964. And my email address is theomills, T-H-E-O-M-I-L-L-S, Mills 9, the number 9, at yahoo.com.
And the name of your ministry?
It's Restoration Outreach Ministries. And the address is 38 Laurel Street. Laurel is L-A-U-R-E-L Street, third floor, and that is in Worcester, Massachusetts, 01605.
Okay. And listen, we have 24 minutes, approximately 23 minutes remaining. And
okay,
you still have time to call in with a question or a few questions. We're listening to the Reverend Dr. Thea Mills. And the number to call is 646-915-8166. And what an amazing teaching this is for us. I mean, Dr. Mills has just delivered some awesome again. Everybody, does not matter where on the puzzle you are, there is something here for you that can help you to remodify, turn around, or accelerate the life that you are living. And I'm just praying that this won't be his first and only time. I hope he will bless us again with his presence. So, back to you, Dr. Mills.
Thank you, Ms. Daphne. I'm moving into the second segment, which is the motivated. I said we're talking about threefold. I'll try as much as possible to do the motivated. And some other time, I know God will open the door and we'll come back and talk about other things.
Okay.
The motivated. And I think this is very important to business executives. It's important for those in leadership and for pastors and for parents. Any level or any capacity of leadership that you, or any dimension of leadership that you find yourself, this is going to really, really help the motivated. And this goes into human resource. Now, when you look at the book of John chapter 5, there's a story there. The man at the pool of Bethesda, this man had been in that condition for 38 years. Now, anytime an angel comes to stir up the water, the first person that steps in the water gets his healing, and right away he goes home. Now, this man had been going to this place for 38 years. When Jesus came face to face with Jesus, Jesus asked him, "Why have you been in this condition?" The man recognized something very important that I'm going to share with you. He said, "Sir, I have no man." That is in John chapter 5, verse 7. He said, "Sir, I have no man." Now, when you look at verse 9, it says that immediately the man was healed. He recognized that human resource is very, very important. He did not tell Jesus that, "I don't have God, that is why I'm not getting my healing." He said, "I don't have any man to help me." And it takes man to run the world.
Oh, yes, and their resources.
Run the world. The people that are around you, if you have 100 people around you, you have over 100 solutions.
That's right.
You have thousands of people around you. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
1,000 people around you, you have over 1,000 solutions. Because each person is more than one answer. And that is how human beings are. So executives need to understand this. When we talk about the motivated, look at this. Genesis chapter 1 verse 26 says that Let us create man in our own image and let them have dominion. Human beings are very important. Human resource, very, very important. We have already said that your success and failure as an executive or a member of a management team will be determined by your ability to motivate your customers who are human beings, your consumers, your subordinates, or your employees carry out your orders. So we are shifting into human resource. Now your ability to motivate your customers or your subordinates give you increase in sale, production, or profit, which is the ultimate goal of every profit-making organization. And I don't believe, yes, we call some organizations non-profit, but you see, every organization is a profit-making organization. Every organization is about it. That's whether right. They are making money or no money, at the end of the day, they make some profit. If I save a soul and I don't get money and I can go to heaven, that is profit making. If I feed the poor and the poor doesn't become rich to pay me back, the profit is that I know one day God will pay me back. So every organization is making organization. And the only way any organization can make profit to concentrate on human resource. Very, very important. We have already said that motivation concentrates on human beings and not on equipment. So the golden rule comes into play once again that whatsoever we want men to do unto us, we should do likewise unto them. If we want those under us, if we want our customers to come back for our product, there is a way we have to handle them. We want our subordinates to produce more for us, there is a way we have to handle them. Now, let me quickly take an opportunity to address the whole of the United States of America, to also call on White House to bring our Ten Commandments back into the public school system. Because until we put into our children, thou shalt not kill, they will get on the streets and kill. If we don't put into them, thou shalt not steal, they'll get on the streets to steal. We shouldn't think that things just happen. If we want to calm down violence on the streets, in our cities, in our towns, and wherever in our schools, we need to put something into the people, something that will motivate them to do what we want them to do. Golden rule.
That's right.
So what we want men to do unto us, we should do likewise unto them. If we want to see a city void of violence, then we have to put something into the people. An effective and productive management is based on relationship with human resource.
That's right.
Let me say this. Let me give you some few quotes. Teddy Roosevelt said this. He said, the most single ingredient to the formula of success is knowing how to get along with people.
Oh, yes. Collaboration.
Yes. Paul Getty said, it doesn't make much difference how much other knowledge or experience an executive possesses. If he's unable to achieve results through people, he's worthless as an executive. The other day, I saw this quote by the founder of Pop 99. He said, you only get one chance every single day to please the guest. Give the guest what they want, and they will always come back for more. These are very, very important stuff. Now,
that's right.
There is this statistics that John Maxwell reported about in his book, Winning Attitude. And he says the statistics is from the Stanford Research Institute. They said the money from any endeavor is determined only by 12.5% by knowledge and 87.5% by ability to deal with people. So 85.5% people knowledge and 12.5% product knowledge.
That's right.
Let me also let me also quickly run through another statistic.
Mm-hmm.
Why customers quit? 1% die. 3% move away. That is, they relocate.
Mm-hmm.
5% make other friends.
Mm-hmm.
9% move away because of competitive reason. That is price
mm-hmm.
and quality.
Mm-hmm.
14% is satisfaction. And 68% is the attitude of indifference by the employer or his employee.
That's right. People always remember how you make them feel.
Exactly.
No matter what you give them,
exactly.
How you make them feel is what is going to stand out in their minds. In their minds.
Now,
you know,
so we are...
Dr. Mills, I want you to do that that statement because we only have 14 minutes remaining, and I want to just give you some time to maybe 8 minutes, 10 minutes to harness everything and to just summarize and tie up what you went over today, because this was an amazing teaching. And I just pray that you will bless us again with your presence.
Thank you.
So you can finish the thought you're on now and let us just summarize the key nuggets you want to leave the listeners with.
Okay. Now, there are 8 motivational tools for maximum productivity. I want to run quickly and then fold up.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
We must understand the law of double profit. Now, the law of double profit, this is something that I propounded. The law of double profit says that you represent the image of the company you work for and your image as well. The company is using the total you to reach its goal, and you use the company to reach your goal. Therefore, work on yourself to meet the company's expectations of you. That is appropriate behavior and the customer's expectation of the company,
mm-hmm.
which means that you have to be very, very, very professional. Now, you must understand the task that you have in your hands. When you understand the nature of the task, you know what you are dealing with. This helps you to know what to expect in terms of reactions and responses of your customers. You must also understand that everyone is unique. Executives must understand that everyone is unique. You don't deal with everybody the same. You
That's
deal
right.
with them on their physical and mental characteristics. You relate with them based on their emotional characteristics, because if we are going to take into consideration heredity, their environment, their experience, one thing you will say to one person that can change a person's life, you say to another person is to create a problem. So we need to develop the skill in dealing with people uniquely. You must also understand the presence of human beings in the presence of problems and solutions. Understand that skill and dexterity will yield profit. You must also understand that you are here to solve problems, not to create one. You need to establish national leadership with your people and let every customer feel very important in him or herself. By the grace of God, we have been able to search very, very important things. We've seen that what you sow is what you reap. We have seen the golden rule that whatever you expect people to do unto you, you do likewise unto them. And motivation is a skill. It's not an assumption. It's a skill, something that we need to develop in our relationship with our subordinates to look at what is expected of every motivator. The thing that we emphasize so much on today is you knowing your business and sticking to it. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that human beings are very important. The people around us have the answers that we are looking for. If we are able to skillfully motivate them, they will produce for us and will have answers that will be so amazing. I want to say God richly bless you.
Okay, okay. Well, Dr. Mills, this was an amazing, amazing teaching. I want you to once again give your information out, and the name of your ministry.
Okay. The name of the ministry is Restoration Outreach Ministries. The address is 38 Laurel Street, 3rd floor, Worcester, Massachusetts, 01605. And the phone number is 508-340-7964. Now, my personal email address is theomills9@yahoo.com. The Theomills is Theomills and the number 9@yahoo.com. The ministry's email address is restoministries07. Resto Ministries, RESTOMINISTRIES, and the number 07@yahoo.com.
All right, all right. Well, again, Dr. Mills, I just thank you, and I'm so grateful that you took the time to come and to really invest in my ministry and the vision that I hold so serious. And I remember that you mentioned a quote from Ralph Waldo Emerson, and I want to share another one of his before we close today. And it reads, "It is one of the most beautiful compensations of this life that no man can sincerely try to help another without helping himself." So in other words, when we invest in each intellectual capital that we invest in, it is only going to multiply to come back and enrich our lives. You know,
yes.
I pray that you will refer this episode. It's on demand. I want you to encourage your friends and family members to go back and listen to this and re-listen and re-listen and re-listen, because this is an episode that you want to have in your library for a lifetime, because there is a lot there that will help you to catapult your life to the height that you want it to go to. I want to also remind you that on the 14th, I'm having a Marsha Petrus Sue, and Marsha is going to be speaking about the reactor factor, you know, and just show us some of the things we are not doing in our lives, on our jobs, and in our families. So be sure to listen to that. And Carolyn Finch is going to be here educating us about the impact and the effect of the swine flu. There's some amazing information out there where we need to get ready for and to be prepared and accept and enhance our health in order that if and when this hits, we are ready for what is coming. So that is going to be on the 14th again. So on that day, we're going to have two guests. So please remember to come by. And again, I want to remind you to go to my website, pick up a copy of my book, Conversation and Success. And I'm co-author with 14 other people. And I'm featured with Dr. Ken Blanchard, Diana Bohr, and T.Y. Boyd. And that was just a blessing to me. So help a sister out and pick up a copy of that. And, you know, you could make a gift to somebody for the holidays. So pick that up. I am working on some more projects, and I will update in the weeks ahead where I'm going to be. Check me out on Twitter, also on Facebook. I'm on LinkedIn. I am here to serve and to build relationships, so I'm always looking to connect with like-minded people. I have a new group on Facebook, Living on Authentic Life by Purpose. If you think you are doing that, I want you to join me in that group, because I have some amazing things planned for that group. And before we go, Pastor Mills, do you want to have one closing thought?
Yes. It's my prayer that what we have studied today will be a blessing to organizations, to ministries, to families, because people have so much abilities in them, they just need a trigger, motivation.
That's right. And you gave them that trigger today. And I, as you know, I always tell you that you do not have to settle for mediocrity, because you have the ability to create excellence. And today's teaching has affirmed all that I believe in, so much of who God has allowed me to be. And I just know that this is the trigger that you've been waiting for in this fall season. Today's teaching will help you to clean out, root out all those bad weeds in your life, so that when everything approaches, you will be living in your destiny. This is Dynamic Daphne, Queen of the Empowered Soul, saying so long, stay blessed, and follow your destiny. It was a pleasure having you on, Dr. Mills, and I look forward to having you back again.
Thank you very much.
What's the plight that you've called me to? The thing I'm set aside to do. I trust you, Lord, to see me through. Will you let me look in your heart? Purpose tonight.
Show me. Hallelujah. You will open that business and direct it. Hallelujah. To my destiny. I know what I'm here for. Tell the Lord, thank you. Hallelujah. For every trial that came with this name. Hallelujah. For every struggle that came with this name. I'm mighty grateful. I said I'm mighty grateful. See the breaking of day. It's destiny. That I know what I know. A strong God. You may not be able to touch it right now. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Hallelujah. Can you see it? Can you feel it? Everybody, you're going into a new dimension tonight. You'll never ever see it again the same way. You'll never ever touch it again the same way. You've been called with a great call. It's a monumental call. You've been called to change nations and generations. Come on and praise your God.
Did you enjoy the show?
Hello? Daphne, it's Daphne. Did you have a good time? Good. 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 Yeah, I was kind of disappointed nobody calling, but you know something? That's all right. I'm sure they were just busy taking notes. So that was good. That was good. That was really good. Oh, yeah, so it's just a blessing, just a blessing, it's a blessing. Yes, yes. So, when do you want to come this side? Okay. All right. Okay. What are you, do you have tomorrow's what? Thursday, do you have tomorrow open? All right. I don't know how early you can get here because what happened, my light in my office is off now. However, if we go early, then I still have light through the windows. So, what time do you think you can get down to, why don't we say 11 o'clock? 11 a.m.? Yeah, or 12. All right, 11, and I'm going to give you the address where my office is. You have a pen? 536 Federal Road. No, 536 Federal Road. Yeah, you have my business card, right? Yeah, that's the same address on my business card. And do you have a GPS? Okay. Oh, okay. Okay, so you should get here. All right, so 536 Federal Road, and then I'll see you at 11. And we discuss, and then if it get dark, we can probably go to the library or something where we can see. Just pray for your sister. Yeah. All right, so I'll see you tomorrow. If you're having any difficulty, you call me on the cell phone. All right, so I look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Okay. You're welcome. Bye-bye. Yes, I said bye-bye. I see. I'm heading up to, I'm heading up to East Hartford now. Okay, bye-bye.
got my mail.
Hi, Jerry. It's Daphne Clark Hudson. I finished my show, and I'm looking to head on over there to UTC. However, I notice here they just have it as in East Hartford. There's no street address. I have no idea where I'm going. So I'm going to be heading on out. My number is 203-546-8210. If you get this message, you can give me a call back. Thanks.